Hello and welcome to yet another episode of Girls Talk Crime. I'm Georgia and I'm joined by Amy.
Hiya.
And Jenny.
Good evening.
Some of you may have already seen that we actually did all attend a Halloween party, which was the twins, me and Jenny from The Shining, and Amy was the mum. We managed to pull together the whole Shining crew. It was brilliant.
Our family portrait is amazing.
Yeah. we may put that up on the grid another time. But it was so good. We laughed so much. Too many drinks were drunk, but yeah, it was a really, really good night, I must admit.
Next day wasn't fun, but the actual party was fun, and that's all that counts.
I literally monged out all day. So hard. It was great. I loved it. I love days like that.
I cried myself to sleep the following night. I had such bad hungover anxiety. I just cried.
It's me. I was just loving life. And I literally, what did I do? I think I got a Burger King and I watched loads of films all day and I just didn't move. It was so, I love those days.
You two are lucky. You can eat. I can't eat when I'm hungover. I literally didn't eat anything all day. I mean, I wasn't very well anyway, but I never eat when I'm hungover.
I didn't used to, and I used to feel so much worse, but now I eat, and I feel so much better, because I always used to feel like, oh, I'm so sick, I can't possibly eat, but then I'm like, actually, if I eat, it combats the sickness.
Yeah, you got to wait to the right time. I think when it gets to, like, 10:30, then it's time for KFC. Or McDonald's. KFC.
You were talking about KFC before we went, and I was, no.
Mate, I got to the point where I was just peeling off the skin, eating the skin. Who needs chicken?
Oh, no, Amy.
Dunk it in the gravy.
Could do that one now. Mm-mm-mm. Anyway, in today's episode, we're going to be discussing the absolutely heinous murder and torture of Junko Furuta, a 17-year-old girl from Japan. This case is also known in Japan as the Concrete Encased High School Murder Case and 44 Days. So let's get to it. Junko Furuta was born on the 18th of January 1971 in Misato, Saitama Prefecture. She had attended Yashio Manami High School and she worked as a part-time employee during after-school hours. She lived with her parents, her elder brother and her younger brother. One of her schoolmates, Hiroshi Miyano, had a crush on her and asked her out on multiple occasions. However, Junko Furuta turned him down as she wasn't looking for a relationship. Miyano, however, was associated with the Yakuza and wanted to get revenge on her.
Just a little info for you. In case you don't know who the Yakuza are, they're basically transitional organised crime syndicates, in other terms, gangsters, originating from Japan. But not the shitty little twats you see hanging outside Tesco Express on their BMXs. Think more like mafia. Like The Godfather, I will kill your whole family and leave a horse head in your bed. That's Godfather, isn't it? So basically, they're not people you want to fuck with, are they, Jenny? Don't want to fuck with them?
No.
Anyway, I'm probably on their hit list now for comparing them to chavs.
Don't talk about the Yakuza. Don't talk about the Yakuza.
Definitely on the hit list. You're going down.
On the 25th of November 1988, Hiroshi Miyano and his friend Nobu Haru Minato wandered round Misato. Sorry.
I know.
Okay, sorry. Wandered round Misato, apologies, sorry, with the intention of robbing and, sorry.
Okay. This isn't funny, Amy, it's serious. No.
With the intention of robbing a local woman. At 8:30 p.m, they spotted Junko Furuta cycling home after she finished work. Under Hiroshi's orders, Nobuharu knocked Furuta off her bike and immediately fled the scene. Hiroshi, pretending to be an innocent onlooker, walked up to Junko and offered to walk her home safely. Junko was unaware that Hiroshi was leading her to a nearby warehouse.
Hiroshi, being the absolute delight he was, threatened to kill her as he raped her in the warehouse and once again in a nearby hotel. Hiroshi and Nobuharu and his other two friends, Joe Ogura, Yasushi Watanabe and bragged to them about the rape. Allegedly, Joe asked Hiroshi to keep her so that they could all have a turn. This group weren't new to the rape scene. They had recently kidnapped and raped another girl, although luckily for her, she was released afterwards and wasn't subjected to torture that poor Junko was to endure. Around 3 a.m, Hiroshi took Junko to a nearby park where Nuhabaru, Joe and Yasushi were waiting. They had rummaged through her backpack, presumably to find valuables, and from a notebook in her backpack, they told her that they knew where she lived and that the Yakuza would kill her family if she attempted to escape.
Did you guys ever write your address in your notebook at school?
All the time.
What, your address?
Yeah, like whenever I get a new notebook, it would say like fill in your details at the back. I'd always do it. But that's because I liked my writing.
They're going to know where they live. They don't need to write it down. Oh, I guess, yeah, if it's lost.
Yeah, but who's going to return a notebook?
Yes, it's because if it's lost, most.
But then,
yeah, but it might be the whole backpack.
Every time, every year, when I get a calendar or a diary, the first thing I put in there is my birthday, just in case I forget.
Just in case you forget, yeah. You put my birthday
in
there.
I always remember you twos. I can never, ever remember or
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. I only remember yours two are really easy because you're both the 12th and it's 1 month after the other. And then mine's the third.
And I can only ever remember yours because your birthday used to be your password to everything in your house.
It still is. Junko was easily overpowered by the four boys and taken to a house in the Ayase district of Adachi. Apologies if I'm saying that wrong because, you know, we're not Japanese.
We've said a lot of this wrong. That's probably not the worst thing that's been said so far.
Yeah, we have said a lot of it wrong. We're probably still going to say all of it wrong. But anyway, she was taken to a house in the Ayase district of Adachi, where she was gang raped. The house, which was owned by Minato's parents, soon became their regular gang hangout. On the 27th of November, Junko's parents contacted the police about their daughter's disappearance. However, sadly, Junko's captors had caught onto this and managed to convince Junko to call her mum and say she had run away, but she was safe with a friend. The kidnappers even forced her into asking her mum to stop the police investigation into her disappearance. When Nobuharu Minato's parents were around, Junko was forced to pose as the girlfriend of one of the kidnappers. They later dropped this front when they decided their family was not going to report it to the authorities. The Minatos said that they did not intervene because they were aware of Hiroshi Miyano's Yakuza connections and were terrified of potential retaliation. And because of their own son displaying increasingly violent behaviour towards them, Minato's brother was also aware of the situation, but he did nothing to prevent it.
That is crazy, isn't it? You can be so scared of, like,
your own son.
That she,
I know,
yeah, but that she was, you know, in front of her own parents, like face to face with her own parents, and was that scared to be like, help.
I think that was literally, I think that was over the phone though. I don't think she actually spoke.
Yeah, isn't it like very much that she's called them, say, I'm safe, I've run away, don't look for me, I'm fine, call off the search.
On the 4th of January 1989, after 44 days of being held against her will in the Minato household, Junko Furuta died. This wasn't a death by natural causes, however. Oh no. This is much, much worse. We will delve into the gruesome details later. Less than 24 hours after her death, Nobuharu, Minato's brother, called to tell him that Junko Furuta appeared to be dead. Fearing that they were going to be caught, they wrapped her body in a blanket and shoved it into a travel bag. After 8 p.m, they then put her body in a 55-gallon drum and filled it with concrete. They loaded and disposed of the drum into a cement truck in Kyoto, Tokyo. On the 23rd of January 1989, Hiroshi Miyano and Joe Aguirre were arrested for the gang rape of a 19-year-old woman who they kidnapped back in December. On the 29th of March, 3 months exactly after Junko died, two police officers came to interrogate them as women's underwear had been found at their addresses. During the interrogation, one of the officers led Hiroshi into thinking he knew of Junko's murder. Hiroshi told the police where to find Junko's body, thinking that Joe Aguirre had confessed to the crime.
Police were initially puzzled by the confession as they'd been talking about a murder of another woman and her 7-year-old son that had occurred 9 days prior to Junko's abduction, which sadly, to this day, still remains unsolved. The police then went to a location that Hiroshi gave to them and found the drum containing Junko's body. She was formally identified via fingerprints. On the 1st of April 1989, Joe Aguirre was arrested for another sexual assault and subsequently re-arrested for murder, this time, however, for the murder of Junko Furuta. The arrest of Yasushi Watanabe and Nobuharu Minato and his brother. Butchering it, aren't I? We will get to the conviction and trial later, but now prepare yourselves because we're going to go over the brutal torture that happened to poor Junko.
Junko was held captive in the Minato residence for 44 days, during which time she was constantly abused, raped and tortured. They also invited and encouraged their other Yakuza friends to torment Junko. According to their trial statements, the four of them raped her over 400 times. And I mean, I know young boys are horny, but that is extremely excessive. And I did actually get my calculator out earlier, and that's approximately nearly 3 times a day per abuser. Can you imagine?
No, I couldn't imagine that. No. I couldn't imagine 3 days a month, let alone...
That's 12 times a day, isn't it? It's obscene. It is actually horrible, and what we're going to go over later, some of it is made by bumhole pout, I'm not going to lie.
Contract. Pout yeah, sounds like it's prolapsing. Pops out.
No, I meant like... You know, like, fucking hell, that sounds horrible. That's what I mean.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, you wouldn't want anything like that shoved up your arse.
Some of the stuff we're going to go over makes me just clench my bum.
Clenched? You clenched your arsehole.
They also beat her, starved her, and hung her from the ceiling and used her as a punching bag. They also claimed to have dropped barbells onto her stomach, forced her to eat live cockroaches and drink her own urine, and then forced her to masturbate in front of them. This poor girl, man. Oh, it's just... Can you even imagine the mental struggle that she must have been going through, as well as the physical? But horrifically, it doesn't end here.
Oh, being forced to eat cockroaches. Also, I would just be sick, I think. I think if someone was like, drink your own piss, I physically don't think I could do it. I would probably try if it was life or death, but I think I'd just throw it back up immediately.
They even inserted foreign objects into her vagina and anus, including a lit bulb into her vagina. And a firework.
How would they have even got a light bulb up there?
And a lit light bulb as well. So they must have literally put it on there attached. That would have been hot as well.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Imagine.
And fireworks. Oof. So were they putting the fire... From what I've seen about it, they did light them when they were in her. But was that to come out of her or to go into her? Because that would have killed you.
Like lighting them on and letting them go off?
Must have been to come out.
Go out. Yeah, she would have died if it was going in.
Yeah, because people do that, like, from the bum cracks and stuff, don't they? For, like, a laugh.
Ooh, it makes me clench.
But it's the sparkly bits that would, like, burn you, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
They also doused her in lighter fluid and set her on fire. They also burned her vagina and clitoris with cigarettes.
And that's got so many nerve endings. It is so, so sensitive. For to put a cigarette... Oh, my God. Oh, I can't even imagine.
To a degree, wouldn't you be, if you've been subjected to so much torture and pain all over your body, you know, like when you're being tattooed and they're like colouring one particular place, it numbs itself out. And then when they move to a different section, you're like, oh, because like your adrenaline's kicked in and like your body's numbed itself. So maybe it did just get to the point where she felt it, but not to the degree it was because her body... taken away some of the pain.
Yeah, no, I do know what you're saying. But then I'm going to sound really weird here, but I don't know if this is the case then, but you do, if you watched, like, if you've ever seen called hentai porn, not that it's something I watch, but it's heavily on the rape culture, isn't it? So maybe this is what, like, and that's obviously, like, I think it is Japanese based, isn't it? It might actually be implemented into them that this is what you should do to a woman. You need to rape her. Like, it is all heavily rape influenced. These poor women are screaming stop, even though they're cartoons. But you know what I mean? That, I wonder if that was a thing back then as well.
Yeah, but just because it's a cartoon, do you reckon they think that it's okay?
I don't think one of them kind of stood back and gone, oh, we shouldn't be doing this. Unless they were scared of each other and they wanted to kind of, you know, trump each other.
Or they're all scared of that guy because he said he's the Yakuza.
So maybe they thought if they didn't go, you know, didn't do what they did... they would have been the ones that got attacked, if you know what I mean. Because if you're capable of doing that to someone innocent, you're capable of doing that to each other.
True. The group also poured hot wax onto her eyelids and tore off her left nipple. They pierced her breasts with sewing needles. Junko was also forced to sleep on the balcony. Now, this was December in Japan, and it can get into minus degrees, and she wasn't given any blankets. At this time, Junko attempted to call the police. She managed to sneak away from the group and dial the number, but before she could speak, Hiroshi discovered her. This resulted in more torture and rape.
The nipple, though.
No, the sewing needles got me.
No, it's the nipple being ripped off that got me.
No, but through her breast. Think of how much tissue is in her breast.
Yeah.
For me, anyway. You'd have to put about six to get one through the width of mine. Massive.
Yeah. Oh, like a full-on knitting needle through yours.
Oh, no, God, I'm actually hugging them.
That's such a horrible image.
I know, it, I have nightmares tonight. It's all for me that... Oh, can you... Oh, no, I know, I really don't like that one.
If you're listening to this, do not eat cheese or drink Coca-Cola, because you will have nightmares about this.
Will you? Jen's got cheese and Coke. Oh, my God.
What's that? Is that Wensleydale in the background there, Jen?
She's full on got like a circle of cheese.
Oh God, I can see his fucking sewing needles going from my tits. Rip my nipple off any day. Just don't put a fucking needle in my tit.
Sadly for Junko, this wasn't the end of it. They also pushed a large bottle into her anus, causing severe bleeding. She reportedly went into convulsions, and during their trial, they stated that they thought she was faking it, so they set her on fire again. She survived these injuries and continued to be raped and tortured. Junko is reported to have asked her captors on multiple occasions to just kill her and get it over with, but they refused. Instead, again, they still made her sleep on the balcony and locked her in the freezer. One of the kidnappers told the court that her hands and legs were so badly damaged, it took over an hour for her to drag herself downstairs to use the washroom. Due to the severity of the torture, she eventually became incontinent, and she was also unable to drink water or consume food and would throw up after every attempt.
Do you know, I'm actually quite surprised that they've admitted to all of this as well. Because a lot of the... Do they have like the no comment thing in Japan, maybe? Or?
I reckon they might have been weirdly proud of what they did. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, we did this and we did that.
Mm. Yeah, because almost, the detail they've gone in, you wouldn't go into that detail if you'd, you know, if you didn't.
No, I mean, if she was kind of preserved in concrete, there may have been some evidence to show what they did anyway. But this case is, I think, brutal as fuck. It is really fucked up.
And having this to her name instead of what she actually did achieve in her life. Like, this is all she'll ever be known for. I think that's really sad.
The severe brutality of her attacks had left poor Junko unrecognisable. Wow, I can bloody imagine. Her face was so swollen, it was hard to make out her facial features. Surely as well, is concrete hot? I'd ask, is concrete hot?
No, it's cold.
That left her ass.
Oh, yeah. The expert.
I imagine it is quite warm.
I always thought it would have had to be warm, but then, to be fair, does put cold water into his concrete wagon.
Yeah, I think it's cold.
Yeah, so it would be cold.
But then, you know, like plaster of Paris, even though you add hot cold water to that, it goes hot, doesn't it?
It reacts with the chemicals, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it goes hot and it can melt off your skin.
I just would have thought if your whole body was cased in something, it's not going to do well for your skin. But then it may preserve it, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Her body was also crippled and broken, and her wounds were infected and infected and oozed blood and pus, which made Junko smell. I don't even want to imagine the smell.
No.
She would smell. She would smell like a corpse, wouldn't she? Mm. She's like a dead woman walking, almost. Oh, she's not even walking.
Mm.
Like when you lot have fleshies, your earlobes, and they went a bit crusty and they had a slightly cheesy odour, didn't they?
They stink.
And that was blood and pus.
Blood and pus, And that was like controlled blood and pus. If you think this is all over her body. And some of it may be coming from like internal, if they've like internally ruptured stuff. All of this made the group lose sexual interest in her and force them to go off hunting for another victim. And this seems terrible, as it's in no way Junko's fault, but you know, that she's in this turmoil, and they've gone, oh, you know, now we don't want to rape you anymore, we'll have to find somebody else to rape, so off we go. The boys kidnapped and gang raped another 19-year-old girl in very similar circumstances to Junko. This young girl was also on her way home from work, but unlike Junko, the boys let her go.
Thank God for that. I mean, but
yeah,
still, she probably still went through a horrible
deal. She will now know how lucky her escape was.
They must have had a lot more connection to Junko to want to keep her for that long. Like, they must have disliked her that much.
It was Hiroshi, wasn't it? Because he was like, she kept turning me down. And I really wanted to go out of her, so let's fuck her up. It's like, she just doesn't want to be with you, fucking psychopath. You don't have to rape her and kidnap her and shit and torture her. mentalist. Anywho, it was on the 4th of January 1989 that the boys challenged Junko to a game of Mahjong, a tile-based number game, and it kind of looks like a mix of dominoes and Scrabble, but with a few more pictures. Junko is said to have won this game, and this sent the boys into a rage and kick-started a torture session that lasted over 2 hours. They beat her with an iron barbell, they punched and kicked her, and as poor Junko's body was covered in pus and blood from all her old wounds, the boys didn't want to get this on themselves, so they taped their hands with plastic bags to cover them. They made her stand and struck her feet with a bamboo stick until she collapsed and began to convulse. Oh, well, at least they kept their hands clean, eh? Pricks.
Disgusting, yeah. Isn't that? That makes me feel sick. Oh, don't worry about her, but we'll just put some Tesco bags on our hands and continue to beat the shit out of you.
It's just crazy how much the body can take. Like, even kind of just hearing the first few things that happened to her, I would just imagine, like, dying straight away.
Clearly you're resilient. I suppose it's a lot to do with your mindset, though, isn't it? If you think I'm going to die. But then she was begging for them to kill her, wasn't she?
Mm.
I would have been dead by, like, day two. I think my body would have given in that quick.
Especially if she wasn't eating and drinking.
It's just live cockroaches.
But we just said, didn't we, that she couldn't swallow anything. She was throwing it up.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Yeah, that was by the end of it. But then I wonder if they were somehow keeping her hydrated. Maybe they were pissing on her. Who knows?
Also, again, this is what they're saying. This is facts by them.
No, but to hydrate her.
No, I mean kind of all the details they're going into. How much of it is actually what they're saying is true and how much of it is not.
Supposedly a lot of it could be made up.
The boys then covered her entire body in lighter fluid and set her on fire. It's reported that Junko did attempt to put out the flames, but shortly gave up and became unresponsive. She died later on from all of her injuries.
Even after the shocking level of violence these boys showed Junko, as they were underage, the courts had to keep their identities secret. This was until a paper found out and leaked the information to the public. All four boys pleaded guilty to committing bodily injury that resulted in death, rather than murder. So in July 1990, a lower court sentenced Hiroshi Miyano, the alleged leader of the crime, to 17 years in prison. He appealed this sentence, but Tokyo High Court and the judge sentenced him to an additional 3 years in prison. The 20-year sentence is the second highest sentence after life imprisonment. He was 18 at the time of the murder. Hiroshi's mother reportedly sent Junko's parents 50 million yen, which is about 357,000, after selling their family home.
Hiroshi was denied parole in 2004. In January 2013, Hiroshi was rearrested for fraud. Due to insufficient evidence, he was released without charge later that month. And Nobuharu Minato, who originally received a 4 to 6 year sentence, what the fuck, was resentenced to 5 to 9 years by Judge Ryuji Yanasi. That might be a horrific butchering. He was 16 at the time of the murder. Nobuharu's parents and brother were not charged. Junko's parents were dismayed by the sentences received for their daughter's killers and won a civil suit against the parents of Nobuharu Minato, in whose home these crimes took place. After his release, Hiroshi moved in with his mother, and he has not worked since.
Yasushi Watanabe. Yeah? No?
Yeah, well done. Yep. Well done.
Did I do it? Got it in one.
Yep.
Who was originally sentenced to 3 to 4 years in prison, received an upgraded sentence of 5 to 7 years. He was 17 at the time of the murder. Joe Ogura served 8 years in a juvenile prison before he was released in August 1999. He was also 17 at the time of the murder. After his release, he is said to have boasted about his role in the kidnapping, rape and torture of Junko. In July 2004, he was arrested for an assault and was put away for another 7 years.
I can't believe those sentences.
It's small, isn't it? Really small.
So, Hiroshi Miyano, 20-year sentence. Nobuharu Minato, 5 to 9 year sentence. Joe Ogura was served 8 years. And lastly, Yasushi Watanabe was sentenced to 5 to 7 years. That's just not, doesn't seem like enough. During the sentencing, the judge commented that exceptionally grave and atrocious violence had been inflicted upon the victim, and that Junko Fuyuta must have been murdered so brutally at the age of 17 that her soul must be wandering in torment. That's quite sad. Like, because I think that's another thing about Japanese culture, isn't it? That they do believe in, like, if you meet a favourable end, you will be left walking in sort of torment. I think they do sort of believe in that. But hearing the details of the brutal rape and torture, a spectator in the gallery actually nearly fainted. And Junko's mother also reportedly had a mental breakdown which required a psychiatric treatment, and I'm not surprised. If I was her mother, or, you know, sister, brother, whatever, I would need it too, just knowing that my relative went through that. And I also believe, I think as well, I don't think we've actually said it in this episode, that at one point as well, the police actually went to Nobuharu's house. I think they were either really convincing and they went away, and I think those policemen were actually, I think they were disqualified from the force or something because they should have investigated and they didn't.
Yeah, isn't it? They went to, is it Hiroshi? Hiroshi's? And to his house, and his parents were like, oh no, she's not here, come and take a look. And they just took, oh, the fact that they're willing for us to come in and have a look must mean they're innocent. Don't worry, we won't come in. But this is what I don't get. The whole time that was happening in his family home, and that you would have heard something.
Oh yeah.
Would you?
No, but I think that's the thing. They were aware of it, weren't they? But they just were too scared of them.
Yeah.
Because of the Yakuza connections.
Apparently.
But that does draw this week's episode to a close. And that is obviously the horrendous torture and murder of Junko Furuta. We do hope you enjoyed this episode. If you've got any feedback or any, you know, questions, comments or concerns, then do just hit us up with an email or let us know on our Instagram page. But yeah, so we hope you enjoyed that, and we'll speak to you next time.